Nobody loves a complainer. Well, I mean, maybe you're in love with a complainer, but you don't love complaining. Who sits back and thinks to themselves, you know what? I think I'd like to complain more. If you're a parent, then you've probably had the experience where your son or daughter has been arguing with their brother or sister or a fussing around the house or in a store, and you say to them, would you stop complaining? I know when my kids were younger, we read to them a VeggieTales book, and there was this page in the book that said, whenever I get to complaining for long, I try to remember complaining is wrong. And so we taught our kids, hey, it's wrong to complain. We don't want you to complain. That's a bad thing. We looked at passages in the Old Testament where God's people would complain to the Lord. I think about the Israelites after God delivered them from slavery and God shared with them their new menu that would sustain them, and they grumbled and they complained, and it did not go well for them. We tell people that complaining is when ungratefulness or ingratitude flows out of our hearts, and that's a bad thing, right? I mean, you would agree, we should not complain. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to complain. I know you hear that and you think to yourself, wait a second, James, that doesn't sound biblical. I don't think I'm supposed to do that. But what if I were to tell you that there is such a thing as biblical complaint? Well, I think there is. I want to show you today, and I want to encourage you, if you are experiencing hardship or a pain or difficulty, or if you're frustrated by life in a fallen world, I want to invite you to biblically complain to God. We find ourselves in week two of our lament series. It's titled Kiss the Wave, Learning to Lament. That phrase, kiss the wave, comes from Pastor Charles Spurgeon, who said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Last week, we started creating a framework for what does it look like to lament as a people. We gave a definition to biblical lament. We said lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust, a prayer in pain that leads to trust. That's not my definition. That's actually from the book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark Rogop. And it's a great book, by the way. I know I don't always recommend books to you, but I would encourage you to pick it up. So much of what I have learned over the last months and really been challenged by has come from his work. In it, he talks about these four waves, if you will, of biblical lament. The first one is turning to God. The second one is complaining to God. The third one is asking God. And then the fourth is trusting in God. And so this morning we want to look at, hey, what does it look like to complain to God? And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 10. Psalm 10, you may remember last week that we said about a third of the Psalter, the book of Psalms, are psalms of lament, the authors crying out to God as they experience life in a fallen world. And so let's look at Psalm chapter 10 together, and I want to challenge us to bring our questions to God, bring our questions to God, and also to bring our frustrations to God. So bring our questions to God and bring our frustrations to God. That's what the psalmist does in Psalm 10, verse 1, when he asks the question, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of troubles? The psalmist begins with that million-dollar question, why? Why, God, does it seem as if you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself from me, from us, in times of trouble? Have you ever asked that question before? When we're younger, when we ask that question, sometimes for year after year after year, our parents may tell us, would you stop asking why? Right? They ask you to do something, and you're like, why? They ask you to get something, and you say, why? They tell you not to do something, and you go, why? Right? We're always asking the question why, but oftentimes when we're younger, we try to stop. We encourage people, hey, don't ask why anymore. And yet here we see in Scripture that it is wholly appropriate at times to ask that why question. That's what the psalmist does. He looks at the world around him and he says, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Author Todd Billings wrote, writers of laments and complaints in the Psalms often seek to make their case against God, frequently citing God's promises in order to complain that God seems to be forgetting his promises. They throw the promises of God back at him. Right? Even though we read stuff like that and we can begin to think about it together, admittedly, there are times when complaint seems almost unchristian. And yet here we are. Oftentimes when we experience the brokenness of the world, whether it's something that we see out there or whether it's something that has arrived at our own doorstep, we can deny it, right? Or we can try to pretend that it hasn't affected us, right? So we can deny our pain, or maybe on the other hand, we just watch as the pain eats away at our joy. Both are unhealthy. Denying our pain does nothing to acknowledge that what we're experiencing is real, right? If we sweep it under the rug, if we try to pretend that we're unbothered by our experiences in life, it comes across as inauthentic. But if we let that pain or that suffering eat away at our hearts, it seems like slowly but surely it saps our joy to the point where we become bitter toward God. Both responses are unhealthy. Instead, the psalmist is going to encourage us in his writings to go to God with our frustrations and our complaints. He does that. He says, God, why do you stand so far away? You can almost see the picture. He looks out and it's as if God is standing in the distance, uninterested in what is taking place before his very eyes. It would be like a child at the playground who's getting picked on or getting bullied by a group of kids, only to look up and to see their parent off in a distance, ignoring what is taking place right in front of him. The psalmist says, God, it seems like you stand far away, or why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? One author says this complaint moves to an accusation of active disinterest. It's not just that God is standing far away. Now the problem is the feeling that God is actually hiding himself. The word hiding can mean secret or hidden or concealed, but it can also have more emotional meanings, such as withdrawn, ignoring, and pretending to be one thing while actually being another. And so you can almost feel this as the reader. The author of Psalm 10 is not only saying it seems like God is far off, but he is playing a game of cosmic hide and go seek. And so he cries out to God and says, God, why? Why do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Maybe this is your experience today. You look at the world around you and things seem to be getting worse and not better. Or maybe you look at life even within your own four walls and you are crying out to God, saying, God, you seem absent or distant or apathetic. If you have experienced deep sorrow in your life, if you felt the sting of loss, if you have been let go, if you've had your name dragged through the mud, if you have been forgotten or misunderstood, then you know what it's like. You've felt what the psalmist is feeling when he says, God, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? I love that the psalmist can actually ask that question before the Lord. I mean, when you think about it, it takes some guts. Typically, we keep things like that to ourselves. We may think them, we may feel them, but rarely do we actually speak them. Do we say it? Well, the psalmist says it, right? He asks the hard questions of God. I tell you what, if you're going to go somewhere with your difficult questions, now there's some wisdom in going to God. What's interesting is this cry out to the Lord, or this asking the question why, is not unique to this psalm. We read it in other places in Scripture. Psalm 22 verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Psalm 44 verse 23 and 24 says, awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2, a psalm that we're going to look at in a couple weeks, says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And I think one of the things that we struggle with in the Christian life is we sign up for this life that we think will go fairly well for us. Right? Things will kind of fall into line. Things will work out the way that we want them to. Our kids will be obedient and fall in line and always love the Lord. And our spouse will be head over heels for us and always have butterflies in his or her stomach. Our finances will always be in order. Nothing unexpected will come our way. I mean, after all, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And then you start living life. And there are times when you think, whoa, time out. Wait a second. I don't know if this is what I signed up for. Well, here the psalmist is just being open and honest with God and asking the why question. You know, if you have questions today, you can go to God. And he's big enough to handle them. You can say to him, God, I know that you're good, but why did my husband leave me? God, I know that you're good, but why did I lose my job? God, I know that you're good, but why is there so much disunity in our country or world or a church? God, I know that you're good, but why? God's big enough to handle your questions. May I encourage you, if you have those kinds of questions today, you can go to God with your questions. You can also go to God with your frustrations. This is what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 10. He asks these big why questions of God, and then he's just going to paint a picture of why it is these things are welling up or stirring up in his own soul. He says in verse 2, in arrogance the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Verse 5, his ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The psalmist just goes on and on and on, and he's looking at the world, and he's in essence saying there is an unrighteous man doing unrighteous things, and no one is stopping him. Right? He has this thumb down on the world. He oppresses the weak and the poor and the powerless. And it seems like from the outside looking in, no one is coming to their rescue. No one is coming to their aid. Even though God should swoop in, right, and defend the poor and the powerless, those who are unable to defend themselves. And yet the author is looking around and in essence going, God, do you see what I see? Because I see all of this evil and unrighteousness before me, but I don't see you moving and acting. Do you know when you experience and see the brokenness of the world, you can go to God with your frustrations? It's okay to have honest conversations with God. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to lament. That's what the author of Psalm 10 is doing here. He's looking at the world in front of him and he's going, hey, this is not playing out the way that it should. And it doesn't seem like there's any discipline or punishment that is coming to the wicked. And he is crying out to the Lord, begging, asking God to move and act. I love the quote from author Stacy Gleddy Smith. She says, "A lament, honestly and specifically, names a situation or circumstance that is painful, wrong, or unjust. In other words, a circumstance that does not align with God's character and therefore does not make sense within God's kingdom. Lament is the language of a people who believe in God's sovereignty but live in a world with tragedy." And that's our world. Right? That's our world. Wherever you go, you can leave the county line, the state line, or the country line, and you will see brokenness and hardship and pain. That's true in Concord, North Carolina. It's true in Columbia. It's true in Huntersville, and it's true in Honduras. It is true in Davidson, and it is true in the Middle East. Wherever you go, you experience the brokenness of a fallen world. And so as Christians, as believers, there's this struggle in our hearts because we know that God is good and he is holy and he is righteous. And yet we see before us, and we've always seen before us, the brokenness of the world that we live in. And so we come before the Lord with our questions. We come before the Lord with our complaints. There's a way for us to do that that is godly. We can grow bitter. We can grow angry. And we can come in arrogance. Or we can come to God in humility. When we complain to God, we complain in humility. We recognize that we're not calling the shots. We know that we are not perfect. We understand that our vision oftentimes is blurry, that we don't see a situation, a circumstance with a perfect clarity. And so we come before him, as one author said, in pain, but not in pride. And so if you want to go to the Lord with your complaint today, I want to invite you to come and bring that complaint to the Lord, but come in great humility. Come in great humility and come with God's word in hand. One of the things that I love about God's word is that it can steady our hearts in times of uncertainty. It is an anchor for our soul. I got to tell you, like over the course, particularly of the last 3 or 4 months, there's been so much uncertainty in our country. There's various opinions that you read, different perspectives and godly voices oftentimes who don't see eye to eye with a particular issue or belief. And I know for me, sometimes I'm going, wait a second. I hear all of these voices coming at me. And one of the things that has brought comfort to my soul is that God's word grounds us. It's true. And so when I talk about bringing your complaint before the Lord, one of the things that you can do is find other complaints in Scripture and pray them before God. I think of Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? When you don't know what to pray, pray God's word. Psalm 10, 13. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to my account? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? How long, O Lord, how long will you hide yourself from me? If you want to bring your complaint to the Lord today, come humbly. Come with God's word in hand. And then lastly, come honestly. You don't have to dress it up. You don't have to say 80% of what you feel. You don't have to couch it in verbiage that you think is going to be more acceptable or more appropriate before the Lord, even though that's not what you think or feel. Like, God knows what you think and feel. He knows your heart. He knows the thoughts that flow through your mind. And so come before him and be honest. Say, God, this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm struggling. This is hard for me. This is difficult. And this is why. And lay it before him. And God will meet with you. He will meet you. And he will be gracious and kind to you. And by the power of his Spirit, he will minister to your heart and to your soul. The purpose of biblical complaint is, it's not an end into itself. It's not a place for us to start, but instead we're going to move from biblical complaint to asking God. And next week we're going to talk about what does that look like and what does that mean. So I look forward to being with you just 1 week from today. Would you pray with me? Father God, thanks so much for your grace and for your goodness. Thank you for your living and active word. Thank you that there is a song for the sufferer. We can bring our complaint before you if we are frustrated, if we are disappointed, if we are experiencing the brokenness of the world and we have nowhere to turn. I pray, Lord, that your people would turn to you. Thank you that you hear from us, that you love us and care for us. God, we love you back, and we pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.